You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Interstate Batteries. And today I am joined by the CEO of the Archery Trade Association, Matt Corman. Thanks for taking time to chat with me, man.
Thrilled to be here. I'm glad you had me. Appreciate it.
This is something different for me because in the past I've never done anything really behind the scenes of bow hunting or archery. It's either been with the product owners themselves or the people of the industry, like the quote unquote celebrities or the stars of the show. And so this is awesome being able to take a step behind the curtain per se and talk to you a little bit about what the ATA is all about and all the things that go into this show and the archery industry as a whole.
Yeah, well, and I appreciate it. I feel like I don't necessarily belong in your string of folks who've been on the podcast, so I'm really grateful to be here.
Well, I tell you what, why you fit into this podcast is because the listeners of this podcast are as passionate about bow hunting and hunting and archery as they come. Yeah. So it's just a little bit of, a little bit different content for them to consume. And I know that they're going to love it. So I know you're on a tight schedule and I want to cannonball into this, this podcast. And first off, I want to ask you, do you hunt at all?
My first day hunting was my first day on this job.
Okay.
So I did not grow up hunting. I grew up in the suburbs of Minnesota and with a family that didn't hunt. We didn't really have any close friends who hunted. Mm-hmm. And so that's not how I grew up. But I for the last probably 5-6 years really had a desire to start.
Yeah.
And what better way, my God, how can you be surrounded by better people to learn to hunt from than in this business, in
Absolutely.
This industry, and especially in this job? And so, yeah, my first day hunting was, or my first day on this job was my first time ever in a tree stand.
Really?
Yeah.
So what, explain that to us. How did that lay out? Where were you at? What were you hunting?
Yeah. We had, before I came on board, there was already a meeting scheduled, an all staff meeting for the ATA scheduled in Buffalo County, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Of all places,
right?
So can't imagine much better deer hunting there. And one of our guys who does security here for all the shooting lanes when you go out and demo bows,
right,
is also one heck of a hunting mentor. And he and I started chatting when I first got in to Wisconsin that day, and he learned from me very quickly that I have a pretty significant fear of heights, and he got me over that in about 5 minutes. And actually, my first day here on show site a couple of days ago, I saw Greg again, and I pulled him aside. I said, man, I got to thank you. I said, because I've now been up in a tree stand maybe 20, 25, 30 times in the last year, and I've never once felt uncomfortable. He got me over that so quick. He got me up safe. He got me confident. He had me moving around, making shots at height. And it was just an amazing experience. It was really, really great.
So in this, in somewhat of a short period of time compared to, like other guys in this room and the people that are going to be on this floor, what's your thoughts so far as somewhat of a rookie hunter so far about
not hunting? Somewhat.
Yeah.
I'm a totally rookie hunter.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually this spring I got my first anything with a shotgun though. I took a Jake with a shotgun.
Baby steps.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And it was that was a great experience. And that, man, that I still haven't got my first deer yet.
Right.
I haven't got my first whitetail yet, but that I am so hooked. I had at least a dozen sits this fall. I've got, there's some season left around us here in the South, near where I am in Georgia and next door in Alabama. And so I will be out again.
Right.
Before the season is up, and if I can make it happen, I'm gonna make it happen. But every day I had free, there was one day every week for about 6 or 8 weeks where I was out in a tree stand.
Love it.
Yeah, awesome. I cannot get enough of it. And I think the best thing for me is it didn't matter that I wasn't. A lot of days, as every hunter experiences,
right?
A lot of days I saw nothing. I heard nothing. I saw nothing, and I didn't care. It was such an amazing experience being out there. Learning, listening, paying attention, not looking at my phone once in 4 or 5 hours. I mean, I'm hooked.
That's a good feeling. So is this something in the period of time since you've started hunting, Do you see yourself getting deeper and deeper into it, or being more of a casual type hunter?
No. I think to my wife and daughter's dismay, getting more and more into it.
Right.
And of course, I think we all, any hunter, doesn't matter if you're mom, dad, or son or daughter, you got to balance that time.
Yeah.
Out in the woods, no matter what you're chasing, with family time. And I need to find that balance, because right now it'd be like I'll quit my job and I'll just go hunt. You know, if we all could, that's how bitten I am on
right.
this. I think there are a lot of folks out there, if they could, that's what they would do.
Absolutely.
And so I want to get deeper into it. Absolutely. I'm really focused on getting my first deer and doing that with a bow. Before I move on to much else, but how much deeper can I get? You tell me and I'll go do it.
Oh, it can get pretty deep.
I know.
Now, your job as the CEO of the ATA,
yeah.
How did you transition into this position? What were you, maybe talk just briefly a little bit about what you're doing before, and maybe even what your role and what daily tasks you do as the CEO?
Yeah. So before in a lot of ways, it was a natural transition. I was in the trade show and corporate events space prior to that. Well, we're here at a trade show now. So yep. Professionally, my professional background lent a lot to this. For the 5 years prior to joining the ATA, I had a daughter who was a very competitive and very accomplished compound target archer.
Nice.
So I'd fallen in love with the target archery side, and the sense of family that builds around, certainly bow hunting, yeah. But I hadn't experienced that yet. But the target archery side is so tight knit. And you get to know everybody, even if you're shooting different equipment. Doesn't matter what division you're shooting, you really do get to know everybody. Everybody's very supportive, and that's really what I fell in love with.
Yeah.
As passionate as bow hunters are, target archers are every bit as passionate about what they do. So that mix, it sounds so cliche to say it, but it was that mix of professional experience and personal passion that is really hard to find and get a paycheck at. So that's what really drew me to it. And then, boy, getting into it, the day-to-day really as a leader, I think, is different for every leader of
right.
every organization, or as a department head, if you're a manager, all those kinds of things. It really becomes what you want to make it. And my style, if you were to ask that question to the staff who report to me, I would hope that they would say that my job is to kind of clear a path for them. And make sure that they have the authority and the responsibility and the skills to do the job that we've asked them to do.
Right.
And I think we've been able to do more and more of that over the course of the last year. We had a great foundation from which to build,
mm-hmm.
From where the ATA came from prior to that. And I hope that our members feel that we've built on that, and that we've grown their ATA to a point where we can become even more viable going forward. But the day to day is really more support and encouragement and nourishment of the team. There are countless functional tasks that go along with that, but primarily I view the job of any leader as really that support role for the team.
Yeah, cool. All right, now kind of transitioning into the organization itself. On a high level, what is the ATA?
Yeah, the simplest way I could say it is that we're the trade association that represents both manufacturers and retailers of archery equipment, archery and bow hunting equipment.
Right.
And it's important to call out manufacturers and retailers, because we might be the only trade association in the country that represents both ends of manufacturing and retailing. That's pretty unique, because a lot of times retailers and manufacturers find themselves at odds. And of course, in the archery and bow hunting space, those kinds of odds come up. But because we're all under the same roof, it's a really great conversation that often ensues after that allows them to get beyond whatever that bone of contention is. It's really the simplistic way of saying who we are. In terms of where we're going now, we have decided, the organization has decided, that our job is a whole lot more than just representing manufacturers and retailers. Yeah. Our job is really to be inspirational, to inspire growth in those sports, and to really protect and respect the history that's been created from long before any of us got here. Our goal and our mission is to do that by increasing participation in every aspect of the sport.
Right. So obviously there's members. Who are the members of the ATA and what benefit do they have from becoming members?
Yep. In a lot of other trade organizations, it's pretty common to have a person be a member. You know, you might be a member of the NRA. For the ATA, the member is the company. So that manufacturer or that pro shop is a member of the ATA. Now, they have any number of employees, but it really comes down to that company, that business, that pro shop being the member. They might be represented at the trade show or on the board of directors by an individual, but if that person can't make it, somebody else can come up and sort of fill in for them. But it's really an amazing breadth of membership because we do have the garage warriors, you know, guys building broadheads for the first time in their basement or their garage, all the way up to these organizations that have a dozen brands under their umbrella and selling those. We've got Scheels and Dick's and Bass Pro Cabela's as members of those big stores that are really appealing to a huge population. And you've also got the mom and pop shop that's on the corner that's really creating a relationship one-on-one with their neighborhood customers, with their neighborhood bow hunters and shooters. So it and everything in between. We have attorneys who are members who represent folks in the archery and bow hunting space. We've got any number of membership types that might be surprising to somebody who's not familiar with who our folks are.
Absolutely. So basically anybody or any company that loves bow hunting and loves archery.
Yeah, and I think has a stake in the industry somehow.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So as far as bow hunting, archery as an industry, how is the state of, almost like a State of the Union address, how is the industry, bow hunting and archery, and maybe talk about the last 5 years and maybe even, you know, how that, what's trending, what it is now, and where it's going.
Yeah, there's a lot in there. This is not me evading the question.
Yeah.
I think you've already figured out by now that's not in my nature.
Right.
It really does depend on who you ask.
Yeah.
There are organizations, there are members out there, both retailers and manufacturers, who will say that they've never had a down year. Mm-hmm. Their business has increased at least a little bit every year for their 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years in business. There are businesses out there that are really, really struggling.
Right.
Buying habits have changed, period. You and I don't buy the same way that we did 5 or 10 years ago. Archers and bow hunters, same thing. The retailers don't buy in the same way that they did 5 or 10 years ago because they're following that same model. They're evolving in their buying habits the same way that consumers are evolving in their buying habits. So I think we obviously had the big boom with the social explosion of archery and bow hunting in movies. My daughter was a product of that. She started bow hunting 'cause she read those books. And the reality is that was unsustainable. And I've heard that from a lot of really highly regarded and highly respected members of the industry who've said, it was hard to keep up. And then we tried to keep up. And then all of a sudden it tapered off after the buzz of the Hunger Games, for example, waned. All of a sudden things crashed. Well, then, again, depends on who you ask. They didn't necessarily crash for a lot of folks. I've heard from any number of both retailers and manufacturers that, you know, they feel like now we're in a period of more sustainable growth. It's much smaller growth than it was certainly 4, 5, 6 years ago. But as a business owner, that can be easier to deal with than a big boom that you're trying to catch up with. And then when it goes away, you can be in a pickle.
Right. So regardless of whether some companies are doing better or maybe struggling a bit, How does the Archery Trade Association maybe put their two cents in, or maybe tasks that they do to help build the industry?
Again, that's a huge wide answer, and I'm already thinking back to parts of questions you've asked me that I've kind of missed out on, and this might be a chance to bring some of that back in. It really depends on who we're working with and who needs the help. You know, there are services for manufacturers that are really important. We're doing a seminar downstairs about intellectual property and counterfeiting. That's one of the biggest challenges facing manufacturers today. So we have that educational support component for those folks who need it. For retailers, some of it is as simple as giving them a social platform to talk to each other and talk about what challenges they're facing. But we're also educating them in different ways and offering them platforms to help build websites, help manage the customer interaction, all that sort of stuff. Given shop owners and shop employees certifications so that it's easier to be credible when a new shooter comes into your shop, so that you can keep them. Because if you don't have that, if you can't teach them how to shoot well, you're not going to retain them, and they're not going to stay in the sport, which is so critical. So it really is there's this huge broad swath of what we're doing. We're redesigning an archery park guide and a range guide so that we can help communities, states, even pro shop owners better design and develop and deliver ranges, shooting ranges to their communities. So we could probably finish out our time here together, continuing to list out member benefits and what we do for folks. It really depends on the situation, depends on the member.
Long story short, a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot. And I think a lot more than folks know. Fortunately or unfortunately, if I were to ask you, what's the ATA, what's your answer?
It's bow shops that come, it's the trade show, right? So it's the bow shops that come in and buyers come in, and that's how they make a lot of their sales and money.
Yep. And I think that's what everybody generally thinks about when they think about the ATA. And there's so much more there, and it's sometimes hard, even when it's right in front of your face, to see it. Because there is a lot there, and there's a lot that we do, and there's a lot that we're trying to do, even in the government relations space. There's a lot we're trying to do, and it's a lot of that happens behind the scenes.
Yeah. So, and you mentioned it briefly about how selling and buying are changing through not just this industry, but for everything, right? Retail stores are closing, and you know, I've heard that same thing happen here. And as companies, let's say one example is Ozonix, right? They were a retail company. Now they are direct to market. Do you ever see the ATA including other direct to consumer companies to be a part of it, or bring them in somehow to adapt to that new change?
I'm going to answer your question maybe in a kind of a different way. It's really hard for us to exclude members, because then it becomes, and we're fortunate to have a really good legal counsel, and first thing every good business needs is a good lawyer, fortunately or unfortunately. The reality is it's really hard to exclude folks. Yeah. If there's an individual who owns a business that's in the archery and bow hunting space and they want to become a member, and they're behaving in a way that's legally allowed for them to behave as a business, they can become a member of the ATA. There are as many folks who are of the opinion that one class or segment of the archery and bow hunting industry ought to be excluded, there's another group who are going to loudly clamor that they should be included. Is there an opportunity for the ATA, or would the ATA go out and proactively and aggressively bring those folks in? right now, I don't know that there's an appetite for that specific, okay, we're going to carve out this niche of direct-to-consumer, or we're going to carve out this niche of online-only shops, those kinds of things. They're not, the industry isn't clamoring for us to do that. And I would say today, those types of businesses aren't knocking down our door to come and become members. But if they're good members of the archery and bow hunting community and they want to be members, they're going to be members.
Yeah. Okay. Would they ever be allowed to participate in a show like this then?
In theory, yeah. If it's a standalone direct to consumer, and I think there may be two questions there. It's, you know, you've got a direct to consumer manufacturer. You've also got perhaps an online only retailer.
Yeah.
If those folks saw benefit there in coming here and selling their wares, would they be here? I think they would. And they have been.
Yeah.
Again, it's so hard in this day and age in this country, it's very hard to exclude, very narrowly exclude one individual entity or one very narrow type of business.
And the reason that I ask these questions is because the media presence alone at this show specifically can really set off a small, let's say like a mom and pop shop or a small, there was a company last year, and they made a trail camera accessory that you put on a pole and you screwed into a tree. And that company, since the exposure at the ATA show, has been purchased by a major company.
Yep.
And basically, because of the media attention at this show, it blew up.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like for me, if I was a direct to consumer owner, I would definitely want to be a part of that just for the media coverage alone.
Yeah.
So, and one of the things that I want to kind of end here with is myself and all the bow hunters a lot of us are really into conservation, right? And making sure that not only do we take away from hunting, but we give back in some way, shape, or form. Does the ATA have any plans, or are you currently or actively working with any conservation organizations?
Yeah, and there's a ton in there as a response to that question. We have, and that's one of the things that I think is less well known, or maybe even least well known about the ATA, is the partnerships that we've struck with folks. Some of the obvious ones are with Target archery organizations. Less obviously, we've built and developed relationships and partnerships with essentially every conservation organization out there. We'll continue to meet with and grow those folks, even if we don't have a relationship with them today. It's important that we do. But also, in addition to that, two elements of the strategic plan that we inked back in the summer with the board was the first was to create a mentoring guide. You can't do that without partnership with conservation organizations. And so rather than build that from scratch, what we did is we went out and found essentially the best case scenario of mentoring, partnering with QDMA to help grow Field to Fork. In a degree where QDMA has a huge reach. And it's not like we're walking in saying, well, we can do it better. We can't. They've built an outstanding program. What we can do is try and help amplify that and broadcast it into other areas of the industry that they're not reaching.
Gotcha.
That's the point of that. And we really feel and agree with them. They've done such a Hank Forrester over there running that program. It just has done an incredible thing. And I've seen it firsthand. I've seen that person. I've been the guy on the ground watching that first time bow hunter climb that tree and make a perfect shot into a foam target with a crossbow. And the whoops that come out from 20 feet up out of that tree stand are amazing. 2 days later of that first class, it wasn't the first class, but that class of about 20 folks that I saw when I was out at QDMA's property, which is just like an hour and a half from my house, three of those 20 folks shot deer that weekend.
Awesome.
And I think they've converted some vegans. So, I mean, how much
better
can be?
That's a win right there. That's
I mean,
a win.
You can go buy factory farm meat, or you can go shoot your own. Which would you like? I'd prefer to shoot my own. I just haven't got there yet. And really, the last thing I want to touch on is the yet another element of the strategic plan is that we're looking into, should the Archery Trade Association create some sort of consumer organization. That's not to say, you know, our members have been pretty vocal about keeping the attendance at the show pretty tightly controlled. Today it's a business to business show, and
yes,
and bringing consumers into that floor would disrupt the business that gets done.
Yeah.
Today the show is doing business. So it's not about bringing consumers into the show, but it is about, you know, is there an opportunity for a consumer organization around archery and bow hunting? And I think that really is the heart of that. Would become another conservation organization, as long as it's not cannibalizing the work of the other
right.
conservation organizations that also, where bow hunting is also at play. So
yeah.
we're trying to be really careful about doing that the right way. If
yeah.
we do it, and again, that's not me saying we're going to do it. It's that we're researching to make sure that we know whether or not we should.
Yeah. Yeah. So kind of wrapping up here, is there anything new and exciting that is going to come maybe in 2019 or throughout the next couple of years that the ATA is going to, I don't know, drop a bomb on us or anything like that?
Boy, I hope dropping a bomb is a bad thing, right? I would say, yeah, there better be.
Yeah.
And that's the purpose of the strategic plan. It's easy, you know, if you're not into business lingo, it's easy to hear strategic plan and go, I don't want to listen to that. It sounds like too much work, or it sounds like, you know, corporate speak that I don't want to hear about. The reality is every business needs to go. If you're thinking long term, you need to
yeah.
build that out. And that's what we've done. There's a lot, and that's not something we've hidden from anybody. We've done it pretty openly. There's a lot in there that's due this summer. There's a lot in there that's due in the coming 3 to 5 years after that. So yeah, there are big things coming, and it's not just about those elements around mentoring and consumer organization. There's a lot in there that will require us to take a really hard look at what the show looks like, and make sure that the show remains a really attractive option for folks to come and really participate in.
Awesome. Awesome. So next question, if you don't get it done this year, are you going to get it done next year in the tree stand?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to get it done, period. Can I guarantee you this year? Nobody can. I mean, I've talked to some really successful bow hunters who go a year or two without. And to be clear, I have shot two deer. We just never found them.
Yeah. Hey, that happens, man.
Yeah.
Happened. I was on the good side of shooting them and having to track them for a long time this year.
Yeah.
So.
Good for you.
Well, I know you're a busy man. I really appreciate you taking time to chat with me today. If people want to find out more about what the Archery Trade Association is, where should we send them?
Three places, I would say. Archerytrade.org to really learn more about what the Archery Trade Association does. Bowhunting360.com, archery360.com. Those two sites, if you happen to listen to this podcast and you don't know where to go, you don't know where your pro shop is, you need some pointers on how to start in archery or bow hunting, those are archery360.com and bowhunting360.com are great resources for that. If you're a bow hunter and you're looking for a new recipe, bowhunting360 is often a good place for that too. Got some good content there. But yeah, those three resources I think are the best ways to get into us.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.